This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Final hour of the week here as we push into late February. Spring training. I'm looking at the forecast. Looks better in Peoria today than it does here. I haven't been able to say that for a little while. So the weather looks like it should get a little better. I think there are some snow flurries up north. I know John Clayton every day is starting his show with a little meteorology report. So you're going to get that in less than an hour with JC on the show. But right now it is open phone lines. We've done this the last few months. I think it's really started in Seahawks season as you guys exploded on the scene. I think fell in love with a lot of these new faces with the Seahawks. I would say that to you a little bit, Tommy, you know, kind of talking about spring training and a lot of the curiosity and unknown. There was curiosity and unknown with the Seahawks this year as well.
Yeah, but we were there.
What do you mean?
Like our show was at Seahawks
at the VMAC
training camp.
Gotcha.
I can say about the Mariners.
Oh, I got you. But you'll get to watch them. They'll be on Root Sports all over the month of March as we get. And by the way, they'll be in Japan before we even know it. That thing is cranking up. So the open phone lines kind of began as the Seahawks season exploded. Many of you jumped aboard. We have now a top five board that had a dramatic shift last week. For the first time in the top five board history, a new face and a new name at the top of it. That would be Kyle from Port Orchard. Tom, if you've not had the good fortune of talking to Kyle, I'm sure you will at some point this segment. He's tremendous. Kendall's number two. Roger in Tacoma's three. David in the Couve is four. Eric fell down to number five from Covington. So that's our top five board. You make a great call. You've got a great point. You blow us away. You get a chance to get right onto that top five board. 206-421-3776. I got one phone line open, and it's anything that you want to talk about.
All right, let's start off with something light here. Jesse is in Bothell. Go ahead, Jesse. What's up?
All right, Tom. Clearly you don't know me because this isn't going to be light. So
all right, good.
All right, so look, listen. I'm tired of all the naysayers out there. For everyone on Twitter and other social media platforms who think the Mariners are going to have a bad season and refuse to support them during a rebuild, I'm going to talk directly to you, so listen up. As a Major League Baseball player, considering all you've been through to get your opportunity at the top of your game, are you going to convince them mentally that they're not going to have a good year? Nope. You're going to walk up to Marco Gonzalez or Mitch Haniger or Kyle Seager and look at them in the face and say, you're going to have a bad year, and try to convince them that they're going to do that? I don't think so. So here's my hot take. Mariners, 88 wins this season. All the negative Nancys out there are going to eat their words. Don't at me.
Wow.
Wow. That was definitely not light.
Whoa. And did he just hang up too?
Yeah.
He just kind of dropped the mic?
Does he shoot up to the top of that list?
Well, Jesse has been on and off the board. As you could tell, he's a volatile call.
Obviously, you don't know him, Tom.
I didn't mean Jesse was going to be light. I meant the topic.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it? Is it light?
You don't know the fire that Jesse and Bothell brings. There's a real hatred assault, so they go at it. They go back and forth. No, there's a genuine kinship, as they both are. At times, masters of the hot take.
I'm not going to walk up to Kyle Seager or Marco Gonzalez and tell them that they're going to have a bad year.
I'm going to do it Monday. I'm going to tell Kyle Monday when I'm down there. I'm like, are you prepared to stink for a better draft
pick? I don't think you need to tell Kyle.
Are you ready for your thoughts
on Kyle Seager are well known.
I don't know. Kyle Seager's transformed himself. I'm kind of excited to see more flexible Kyle.
Are you
going to
point
Seager?
Your left index finger right in his face?
Probably
you're
not.
You're going to have a bad year.
Challenge him to do that. Hey, Kyle, you're so flexible. Can you put your palms on the floor? Because I can.
Let's see how flexible those calves and Achilles and ankles really are.
You got good lumbar bend?
That's right.
Have I seen your Warrior II pose? No, I haven't.
Yeah, you want to get into Warrior II, Warrior III? What do you want to do here? Yeah, whatever you got, just Savasana? You just want to lay in Savasana all morning long in the clubhouse? You can actually get to work. Jesse, I think 88's a bit insane. I don't think that's going to happen.
How many did they win last year? 89?
They won 89 a year ago. Ugh. They did so with Eddie Diaz that just threw absolute fire. I think that they could have a bunch of leads this year. I think they could be somewhat compelling. I don't think they're going to be terrible. I think the bullpen is going to be very, very challenged. And in today's game, if you do not have a bullpen against the Red Sox, against the Astros, against some of the teams that you're going to have to face in this American League, it's not going to be a lot of fun.
If they got to 88 wins, like we talked about the USA hockey beating the Soviets, I guess today's the anniversary, right? 39 years?
Yep. On this day, 39 years ago.
I'm not going to say this would be a bigger upset, but I mean, Vegas has them at 70 over under.
You guys had Marco on the show a record.
Yeah.
You guys talked to him about that, right?
Yeah, we talked to Jay Bruce. We talked to Marco Gonzalez. And there's no reason why, especially a veteran player, should think that, oh, yeah, we're just going to be terrible. They should obviously be going in and thinking, you know, we're going to surprise some people. It doesn't mean they're going to make the playoffs necessarily, but things happen.
There's no question.
That's okay, and I want my players to believe that.
And if you're Shed Long or you're any of these young players that got acquired, J.P. Crawford, what do you want to do? You want to show that I belong in this league. I have toiled for 2, 3, 4 years. Some have had a cup of coffee in the big leagues, but this is their chance. So you're going to get their absolute best.
Right,
Jesse,
but the reality is that this is probably not going to happen.
Anybody, Jesse, that questions whether or not you're going to get the best of every one of these guys, I'm with you, Jesse. That's ludicrous. You're going to get their best. But, Tom, is their best enough?
88 wins with no bullpen and Wade LeBlanc is your number two?
Is going to be good enough? Probably not. All right, next.
All right, let's go for something hardcore here. Will is in Gig Harbor.
Oh, no. Will brings it.
Go ahead, Will.
Good morning, Will.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my phone call.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a graduate of Gonzaga from 2013.
Sorry.
I majored in mathematics. And I cannot believe that you are giving Gonzaga a hard time. We beat Duke this year.
Yep.
We are ranked number one in RPI, BPI, and in net rankings.
Mm-hmm.
We beat UW 12 out of the last 13 years.
Yep.
And all.
Oh, that's no big accomplishment.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is, just because we play in the WCC does not mean we're not the best team in the nation.
Yes, it does. You beat Denver, North Alabama, CSU Bakersfield, Santa Clara, Pacific, San Francisco, the Dons, one of the great mascot names, Loyola Marymount, Portland. I mean, need I go on here? I know you got the win over Duke. That's important. I'm not saying you're a bad team, but you're not the best team in the nation. That, there's just no doubt about it.
So analytics don't lie. Beating teams by an average of 30 points, having the number one offense in the nation, scoring over 92 points, making the NCAA tournament, I think it's 19 or 20 straight years in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, the bashing on the WCC needs to stop.
It just needs to stop,
you know,
Will. You're right.
We've handled the Pac-12,
yep.
And does that not mean anything?
No, it doesn't. That conference is terrible.
Okay, and I agree. Yeah, the Pac-12 is terrible. You're right. Gonzaga is still the number one team in the nation.
Thank you, Will. Will, you got way too many numbers.
When we raise the banner.
You're too smart, Will, for this conversation.
I'm a math major.
Yep, you're a math major.
You're going to get a number one seed, and Maryland's going to whack you in the Sweet 16 as a 5 seed.
Whoa, easy.
What?
I can't wait to call back in April.
All right, I can't wait for it either. I look forward to it.
Please, Will.
Okay,
please.
Will made a lot of good points, but when he said the hate on the WCC needs to stop, that was the only place he kind of started losing me there.
Thank you, Will, for the phone call. Number one in RPI, number one in BPI, right up there in net rankings. You know, we find this conversation much more frequently in college football. This has been a much more frequent conversation with UCF and these teams, Boise State, you know, and Chris Peterson's run. Does a team from the WAC, does a team from the Sun Belt, does a team from Conference USA, does a team from the American, does a team from any of these conferences ever deserve any of the credit? The difference
is
in basketball.
Well, they get it, and that's the thing.
The difference
is
they get to play. Okay, yeah. UCF did not get to play Alabama. UCF did not get to play Michigan. UCF doesn't get to play those teams. They play one in a bowl game. Maybe two if they're lucky in a non-conference and can schedule that and get a home-and-home with somebody, which largely they can't. But in basketball, you know, you do get to play Duke. You do get to play North Carolina. You do get to play some of the best of the best. And I think this is a pretty darn elite team. I think this is one of their most athletic, dynamic, veteran teams that few has had, especially at the guard level. And I think they're going to make another run to a Final Four. Are they worthy of being the number one team in America right now in a poll that really doesn't matter? They're going to be a number one seed, and all that will be determined in March Madness.
Won't that be nice?
It will be really nice.
Okay.
And you'll be rooting for Maryland, and Will, the math major from Gig Harbor and a Gonzaga grad, is going to be rooting for the Bulldogs.
Bruno Fernando.
As will I.
Remember that name. Randy's in Spokane. Go ahead, Randy.
Good morning, Randy.
I think that being that Wilmar is at the one-and-done policy, if they didn't have that one-and-done, I think Wilmar would have a lot more success with all those people staying around, and you guys would have had some great teams. I think the recruiting for Gonzaga doesn't get enough credit. But I think that, if I remember correctly, I think the preseason, I think then the WCC have a better record
Yes.
than the Pac-12.
Yeah, this is not a Pac-12 West Coast Conference.
Yeah, I'm not trying to prop up the Pac-12 in any way,
right.
shape, or form.
Right, I think, but see, we didn't have Tilly or Crandall when we got beat by Tennessee and North Carolina this year either. So it's a crapshoot. I mean, you know, as I said, we're just a little mid-major that people still don't give us enough credit. But, you know, we're just out there trying to do the best we can. And now we have a chance for everybody else. And
oh, definitely.
Who knows?
Thank you, Randy. Thank you for the phone call.
By the way, if I were to make my own poll here, my own top 25, yeah. I'd have Gonzaga in the top 10. I don't think that they're a bad
team. You
wouldn't
have them in the top 5.
But they're not. My issue is that, yeah. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
But they're not the first or second best team in the country. That's just lunacy.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing they can really do. They can win by 30 points in their conference, Tom. Right? And there's nothing they can do, unfortunately. Your estimation really changed that because you're just not going to get it. As Tim Brando said to you guys on your show the other day, you know, unfortunately for them, they don't get the opportunity to evolve. They don't in their conference. Right? They're just not tested. You just do not have the depth of talent and rosters in that conference to really test them. And this year, unfortunately, there's not even a St. Mary's. Unfortunately, this year, there's not really even anybody near the top 25 that can really push and compete with them.
Question. When Syracuse and a handful of those old Big East schools, when they all went to the ACC, Miami went with them.
Yes.
Was that a money issue or was that a football thing?
Like, I think, yeah.
What forced that?
I think
because
it was,
if Gonzaga had the opportunity to go to, say, I don't know, the Big Ten, which I guess geography doesn't matter, Big 12, would they do it?
Mm. There were some rumblings about that, last year or the last couple years? The Mountain West has been the one that's kind of flirted with them a little bit.
The West's pretty good basketball league.
But for the sake of this discussion, I'd like to see how they do in the Big 10, Big 12, ACC.
That's not going to happen, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, no football team.
I'm not saying that they should. I'm just saying how if they had to face that kind of competition, every single game in conference, the type of grinder that is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, man, that wears on you.
It does. I think they would welcome it. I think they would say we'd be better for it. I think they would lose games, but they would be able to evolve over the course of the season. And I think they would trust their recruiting. I think they trust the record of their development of their players, Tom, over the years. The number of NBA dudes that they have had. Hey, by the way, this doesn't have to be a Gonzaga conversation. 206-421-3776. We've had Russell Wilson conversations this week. We've had Frank Clark conversations this week. We've had Kaepernick conversations.
Sierra.
We've had Sierra conversations. Anything that is on your mind, you call in right now. A couple phone lines are open. 206-421-3776.
All right, the second-ranked caller on the list over
bless
there.
His heart. Very polarized on the text toys you're going to see here.
Kendall in Santa Monica.
Some love him, some hate him, but Kendall brings it every time he's on. What's up, Kendall?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing good.
You know, there's the Russ conversations going on, and we're basically just going to have to suffer through it until something happens with Russ. You know, but I've just been thinking about what does this team need to get back to having a number one, number two seed, which means you can realistically challenge for the Super Bowl. And then I was thinking, you know, no one has put John Schneider on blast in a little bit, and I was going through the first selections that he's made in the draft since 2010. Russell Okung, James Carpenter, Bruce Irvin, C. Mike, Paul Richardson, then there's Clark, that's good, Effetti, McDowell, and Penny. You look at some of these decisions, obviously some of the first were given up for Percy Harvin. There's the trade for Jimmy Graham. And, you know, when, you know, Pete's motto for this organization is to do things better than they've ever been done before. And I don't think as a franchise you can be just giving away those first selections because they're so valuable and the hit rate on them is absolutely abysmal. So that's something that I just started looking at and started getting really frustrated by. And I would love to see, especially, you know, with Schneider having limited picks coming up, I'd love to see him, you know, put his best year forward because that's what the Hawks are going to be.
All right, Kendall, I got a little assignment for you over the weekend down there in beautiful Santa Monica where it looks like it's going to finally warm up for you as well. I got a little assignment for you. I would love for you to do a little John Clayton database for the next time we talk to you next week when we're in Peoria, and you put together a little database and you compare and contrast a bunch of other teams and their first-round picks over the last 9 years as you just laid those out. A Russell Okung, right, a Bruce Irvin, whether it be by Pro Bowl, starters, you know, length and longevity. I'd be very curious to look at it compared to his peers. And thank you for the phone call, Kendall. I'd be very curious compared to his peers what his hit rate is. Hmm. You know, and maybe, Kendall, you can do it as a single, double, triple home run. So you can look at an on-base or a slugging percentage or whatever you want to do. Say, you know, that was kind of a single. Russell Okung was probably a triple. You know, he's on his third contract and big contract, bona fide Pro Bowl left tackle. Some of them were certainly strikeouts, and Malik McDowell, the biggest strikeout maybe of any of them. So I'd be curious if you were to just in context compare that to his peers. My hunch, I haven't done that work, but you know, I've looked at it over the years. My gut and my hunch is a lot of people swing and miss.
Just with the first round you're talking about.
Yeah. Yep. There's a lot of swings and misses. And you know, some of their risk tolerance, and they said as much after this last year, right? The draft record in 15, 16, 17 in totality, not just first rounders, not good enough. I mean, nowhere near good enough. And, you know, they kind of went into the bunker and said, we got to fix this. This is some of these things and some of the ways we're viewing guys, some of the risk we're taking is too much and it's broken. And last year's draft class, by far, one of the best ones in totality that they've had in years.
I was going to say, if you're hitting in three or four other rounds and you found those types of players that you think can either be ancillary pieces or part of your core, it's not that you don't care about what happens in the first round, but you're not defined by that nearly as much.
No, but you'd sure love a star.
Yeah, you would.
Know? And unfortunately, they've got four picks. More than likely, are going to trade down. Unless they can trade other pieces here this offseason. Ethan Posick, if there's any market, even for a sixth or seventh rounder, for a few just to accumulate some more bites at that apple. But, you know, ultimately, you do need stars. You do need bona fide Pro Bowl difference makers. It's how they built and won their first title, and they'll be looking for it in the draft once again.
Josh in University Place. What's up, Josh?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Doing great. What's happening?
Hey, so I wanted to bring up, I think it's something that Josh Rosen actually had mentioned like a couple months ago, and I feel like people mocked him for it. And I'm not a big Josh Rosen fan, but I kind of agreed with him, and that's, why don't we take away the amateur status and let the college athletes go out and get sponsorships and be on Nike ads and everything? I think that would solve a lot of this pay the college athlete problem, because what's the biggest problem a lot with what colleges say? They don't want to pay the punter the same as the quarterback. Well, if you let them go out and their market establishes what kind of money they can generate from sponsorships and that kind of thing, what's the downside? I don't understand why we can't do something like that to allow the college athletes to get some money and let their market value establish what they can be paid.
Do you think that the schools themselves would want a cut of that? And would you be okay with that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't see why the schools would need to be involved. They're already getting revenue from the TV and the money and all of that. So why would they need to be involved?
Would teammates get any cut of it?
I mean, professionals, they don't.
Just a lot of, I think, questions that arise on the surface level, at the tip of that iceberg. I just kind of understand it. You know, there's rainmakers, man. There's, you know, Coward calls them prodigies. This kid, Zion Williamson's a prodigy. 99% of the three, you know, if there's 350 Division 1A basketball programs, 350 Division 1A, each of them have, what, 12 to 15 kids on scholarship? Ooh. Start to do the math. Is that 4,000, 4,500 kids? How many Zion Williamsons are there?
Yeah, but what the caller's saying there about the marketability and dropping the amateur status. I mean, mm-hmm. Zion Williamson is the only player in college basketball who could do that. The other guys don't deserve that cut.
Yep.
The school would want it, though.
Sure.
That's part of what's going to hold
this
up.
Put on the uniform, and you get this and playing in this environment, on this stage. And by the way, that Duke-UNC game, even a blowout, did you see the ratings?
Mm-hmm.
It's the highest-rated basketball game and NCAA game in 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number one rated game by far on any cable network.
And it's for one reason, because of him. Yes. Look, I'm not the biggest proponent of college athletes getting paid. I think there's something to it. I wouldn't mind a stipend or something there. But there was one reason why that game was as highly rated as it was, because of him.
They wanted to see this kid.
Right. He was the one bringing in the money, nothing else.
There is no question about that. By the way, some breaking news here in the sports world. A bunch of you on the phones. We will continue these. 206-421-3776. I do want to play a little Barkley sound, maybe next segment as well. Anything is open to you. 206-421-3776. But in the sports world, a headline and some breaking news that even the news folks, didn't happen very often, but some of the news folks ran into our studio and said, are you seeing what's happening here?
They ran in here with glee like they usually do.
New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft charged as a John in human trafficking in a prostitution investigation in South Florida.
Is John an official term?
It's quote unquote, whatever. I know this, in no capacity do you ever want to be on any headline whatsoever in your lifetime.
Mm-mm.
In this nature. And you start to read a number of these different articles. And by the way, this is some of this breaking news that comes in. And from our perspective, we're reading just like maybe many of you are on Twitter and all of these different sites, but it is extensive. This has been a 9-month project down there in South Florida, a sting of sorts, and attacking the human trafficking and the prostitution ring. And, yeah, Robert Kraft's name seems to be all over that story.
Man, when people get in trouble these days, they lose jobs, they sell teams. Look at Jerry Richardson, Donald Sterling. I mean, being associated with human trafficking ain't that far off.
Awful. We are deeply stunned, as anyone else is. When asked if he was surprised about the arrest of Robert Kraft, this is the police chief down there, the Jupiter police chief, Daniel Kerr, saying, "We are as deeply stunned as anybody else," as they started to involve themselves in this, as I said, a 9-month investigation. You can go read it. It will be everywhere. It will be the story in the sports world. Robert Kraft, obviously the owner of the New England Patriots, a gentleman that's worth nearly $7 billion, a guy that's been heralded in many places as a kind of a deal maker, right? When the league came after him, he took some of the punishment, wasn't happy about it, and obviously has helped lead Tom Brady and Bill Belichick to all of this dynastic run. And just,
is this what Kaepernick had on them?
Huh?
I'm not trying to be fun. I mean, you talked about unintended consequences and other things coming out.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't know if that's in those.
He said his name was one of 100 in this like year-long investigation.
100 other people. Other people involved in this, not people associated with the NFL. So I don't know in the NFL books necessarily, Tom, but yeah, this is some of the, this is what's done in darkness. I say this all the time with these stories, man. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be Tiger Woods. You can be Robert Kraft. You can have billions, billions, billions in your bank account. And what is done in darkness in this day and age so often comes into light. So that is the big national story, the breaking news that is going down in the sports world. We've got you guys all over the phones. Yeah, and Sir Charles, man, he just gets to say things that nobody else does. So we'll get to that sound in your phone calls here in our final segment before we answer your questions. It's Tom Wassel in for Mike Salk. We'll be in Peoria come Monday morning. But it's Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside, you gotta take a stand, it don't help to hide. If you hurt my friends, then you hurt my pride.
Every one of you should jump on the web stream right now, 710sports.com. This Hulk Hogan is in studio with me, posing. Don't rip your shirt off. Don't rip off that used pair of underwear. Unwashed underwear.
Whew. All good. Thanks, Lance.
Did you enjoy Hulk Hogan posing more than you did his matches?
Oh, no, no. I love the wrestling.
You like the wrestling?
Oh, the whole deal. But what a showman. What a great showman.
That's what
America.
I mean, because he used to pose.
Oh, he sure did.
At the end of every match, even if he lost.
Not even that great of a wrestler, to be honest with you. Like his leg drop, that was like his go-to, right? The big leg drop.
I could do that.
Yeah, exactly. Did you like the state of Hulkamania?
I did.
Oh, yeah, we were Hulkamaniacs.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that. You wrestled in the confines of the Suncadia house. You and Danny O'Neill. And
that's
epic.
Right. We that wrestled to a draw.
Did that end in a leg drop?
In a leg drop.
That's Tommy Wassel. He's in for Salk. This is the final segment before we answer your questions. You can text those in to 710-710. I think maybe like many of you in the sports world, we just spent the last 6 minutes reading as much as we possibly can. The New England Patriots and Robert Kraft's spokesperson comes out and categorically denies.
We categorically deny that Mr. Kraft engaged in any illegal activity. Because it's a judicial matter, we will not be commenting further.
But you will see all sorts of commentary. This will be the biggest story of the entire sports world and weekend, as he has been charged, his name, one of 100 associated in a 9-month sting in South Florida, in Jupiter, Florida, with human trafficking and prostitution. And yeah. Just not the kind of headline that a 77-year-old Mr. Kraft would ever want to see himself, or the Patriots, or the NFL,
or anybody,
for that matter,
yeah.
And some of his associations. And, yeah, that runs deep. But we don't answer your questions. We do that in 10 minutes. We take a couple more phone calls here. Our top five board is open. Still have not heard from Kyle in Port Orchard. That's a little bit rare on a 9 o'clock on a Friday. One phone line is open, 206-421-3776. But we go to?
Chris in Spokane Valley. Chris, go ahead.
Good morning, Chris.
Morning, fellas. How you doing today?
Doing all right. You fired up about that Zeg conversation that ruffled the feathers a little bit this morning?
No, not really fired up, but I would like to draw a brief comparison there.
Sure.
The WCC is a weak conference. There's just no getting away from that. But if we draw the football comparison, the Patriots play in a weak conference too.
You mean division?
And
yeah, in this case, it would be both, the AFC. But yeah. But yeah.
How is the AFC a weak conference?
So I don't think the conference necessarily gets to determine the value of that team. I'm not saying that the Bulldogs are going to go all the way or even necessarily make it to a Final Four. Their defense is going to be the thing that gets them anywhere or gets them exposed.
Yeah.
But I don't think the conference argument is necessarily the one that holds water anymore.
Well, Chris, that's a good point. And I think that actually in the AFC East, look, the Patriots are a great team, any way you cut it. But it's possible that the difference between 11 wins and 13, maybe a 4 seed and a 2 or a 1 or whatever, is the result of hammering on the Bills and the Jets. And maybe not the Dolphins every time, because we saw what happened this year. I mean, yeah, I think that there's absolutely something to that.
Tom, the AFC is weak in general compared to the NFC.
What?
The AFC football on CBS, it's like the most boring product in sports.
Is he joking?
No, I'm not. What, if you like to see the Ravens versus the Texans as your division winners?
But they had a wild card team that was 12-4.
Well, they had a wild card team that was 10-6, so what?
Okay.
Next, 206-421-3776. Again, the nerves. It's not the time to do this, Kyle. Don't do this to Tommy.
I'm just saying, in general, the AFC is a really boring product.
I don't know if that was the case this year quite as much. And I think over the last few years, the NFC, the elite quarterbacks, the Aaron Rodgers, the Russells, the Drew Brees, Matt Ryans, Cam Newtons, I think there have been a deeper pool of elite quarterbacks in the NFC than the AFC. But Andrew Luck coming back helps. Phillip Rivers.
I guess also it's just AFC is a lot of small market teams that are just less interesting. Mm. Of the top 10 media markets in the U.S., 8 of them have NFC teams, 2 of them AFC.
I got you. 206-421-3776. Couple more phone calls here. What you got?
Yeah, my apologies to Daniel in Spokane. He's been on hold for 37 minutes. Oh, I just missed that. Sorry, Daniel. Go ahead.
Yeah, no biggie, man. I was just going to kind of make a little bit of a comparison for you.
Sure.
So, well, maybe not a comparison. Last year, Virginia won the ACC regular title and the conference tournament, and then they lost to a 16 seed.
Correct.
As a 1 seed. So usually the litmus test is the NCAA tournament. And over the last 10 years, Gonzaga has advanced 10 consecutive years. Nobody else can say that of the Blue Bloods besides Kansas.
You mean advanced out of the first round?
The Sweet 16?
Correct.
Yeah, but how far?
Out of the first weekend, yeah. Mm.
And they made the one run to the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
But would you? Yeah, but given, but given how
4 years in a row,
understood. But given how great of a program they supposedly are, and I do think they are a great program, shouldn't they have had more success than that? I mean, they're actually more famous for early round exits than they are advancing. If you look through, I'll pull up their history right now. All right, take the next call.
Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate the phone call. I knew that Spokane would just be stirred up. So thank you for the phone call. I think, Tom, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, that was definitely the case. I think that they've been fairly consistent over the last 5 to 10 years, as Daniel said there, with some of their runs. So I don't know if early exits is you know, the inability to get to Final Four. You know, that's been their story. That's been over the last 20 years. And the reasons for it, you're not tested. You don't evolve. You don't get to grow in all of those things. Well, they finally got over that hurdle. They got to a Final Four. You know, if their big fella could have made a stinking lay-in or two, they may have won a national title
game. I understand. The last couple of years, they've been better. Before that, I mean, they used to call it the third round, but really that's the second round.
Mm-hmm.
They did that 4 years in a row. Actually, 5 years in a row, they lost in the second round. Before that, Sweet 16, first round, Sweet 16, second round, first round. I mean, there's a lot of disappointment there too.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. The run over the last decade's been a pretty darn good one. Hey, anybody on the phone want to talk about Zion Williamson?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. Anthony and Renton. Go ahead, Anthony.
What's up, Anthony?
My fault.
Thank you for my call. Yeah. The whole thing with players being able to go to the draft out of high school, I remember when that was a problem, when guys were getting drafted and they just didn't make it. But the NBA and the NFL, they need to have probably a developmental league, just like Major League Baseball does with the minor league system, where guys can get drafted and they can go and have the option to play in college, and the teams are invested in that. And the WHL and hockey, where guys can go and play in the minor league systems, and they still have the options of getting an education. Instead of taking guys out of high school who don't want to be in college, why not just let them go to the draft? And if they don't make it, put them in a developmental league where they get ready. And if they don't make it there, just allow them to then fund their education. I don't think those. I think the NFL and the NBA especially, they don't have the investment there right now where they're putting guys in systems that allow them to do that. And instead of just letting the NCAA take a guy for 1 year, sell tickets for $3,000 to go watch college kids play basketball, make millions of dollars on sneaker deals, where they could be making that themselves if they decided they didn't want to go to college, and they can pay for their education later.
Well, it's interesting, Anthony. You're going to be then wanting to root for the XFL, because I think that's going to be some of their avenue a year from now. They're going to try to probably target some of that audience. I think it's an incredibly rare kid that has any possibility to come out of high school and get to the NFL, or does he, and would he rather go into an XFL and make 70 grand for a couple years? And oh, what if he gets injured in the XFL like he would have in college, and he never gets to have his career? Well, then he doesn't have a college education either. I mean, it is a tip of the iceberg with all of this. We could debate this for hours and hours and weeks and years.
We
and
do
largely
only have,
we have for 10 years.
We only have one caller left, so we got to get to Jack.
Okay,
okay. Jack in Tri-Cities. What's up, man?
Jack, you get the final word quickly. What's up?
Yeah, GU, I'm a Spokane native, Brock. You know, GU basketball, they go into their conference probably as strong as they do all season, and then they get weak. They get weak playing, they get weak coaching, then they go to the tournament, and that's what you, then you see the early outs are not, you know, the season doesn't end the way they want. I think going to the Mountain, and shame on me, I forget every now and then, the Big West, Mountain West, any of those conferences with the travel, the history, and that's the problem with the bandwagon fans. I was a fan when I watched Gary Payton play there in the old arena, and there was hardly anybody there. We were courtside. We walked in basically at game time. The bandwagon fans don't know the real history of college basketball and what it would be like to go to the Pit, you know, once every year and play, and that travel and that higher level of competition would make them better, and would gear them closer to a national championship.
Thank you.
Raises a ton of money for cancer. Good kids, good program. But if they want to make that next step on a consistent basis, they've got to go to a different conference.
Thank you, Jack. It'll be interesting to see. It always comes up. And if they're an early exit this year, then who knows? Maybe it will come up once again. And it seems to kind of every year or to the Mountain West. Is there somebody else? Is there some other place that they can go and they develop? How about if they could do what college football does? And just maybe late in the year, like the SEC plays out of conference.
Yeah. Well, that happens. Some schools do that.
Yeah.
And some schools
do. The Zags do usually do that. I don't know if they this year, but they usually play like Tennessee at Key Arena.
Sure, they try the best they possibly can to do some of that. Ooh.
It's empty in the valley of your heart.
What do you
think? It rises slowly as you
walk. This is beautiful.
Away from all the fears.
This is for you, Tom, as we go away to answer questions. This is to infuse you with some love. To feel good before we answer questions to wrap up what's been a great week. Text them in, please. 710-710. It's Brock and Salk at 710 ESPN in Seattle.
I know the shame in your defeat.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
7 best minutes of the show right now. Right here, right now. Tom, put everything else behind you.
I've already given my 7 best minutes.
Nope, we got 7 more great minutes.
Okay.
Brock and Salk here. We answer your questions every single day. I'm gonna fire the first one your way. Bradley Cooper. One of the great actors of today. When you put the list of the top 3 best actors right now today, where's Bradley Cooper on that list? I think he's in my top 3.
I haven't seen A Star Is Born yet, but everything I hear is that he's terrific. I don't know about top 3. There's so many, but he's way up there.
How about if you did it, you broke it down into almost age categories, generations, because that's difficult. If you're going some of the older actors.
True.
How old is he?
I would say he's 40, right?
40. Yeah, I mean, amongst 40-year-old
actors.
He was
on Alias way back in the day. He's been acting for a while.
That's an underrated show. Was that a popular show?
It was decent.
Was
it
more popular later on?
I think it really peaked in its like third season.
Did it? That was a good show.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
Next question.
Jerks, who was your first celebrity crush?
We've had this a few times. Meg Ryan.
Madonna.
Madonna.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that with you. Material Girl.
She was the Material Girl. Get into the groove.
Is there
she was just hot back in the day.
Is there some
man.
Madonna, Lady Gaga comparison as far
definitely.
As talent?
Definitely.
As far as musical
Lady
talent?
Lady Gaga's a way better singer. I'm sorry, Tom.
Hopefully no, she is. She's a better singer.
Lady Gaga's a way better singer?
If we're just talking natural,
I think
God-gifted.
Natural stage presence, performer presence,
right.
There's a lot of comparisons. I think what they do on stage is phenomenal, but just singing vocals-wise, Lady Gaga, I don't think you can.
Okay.
Yep. Next. I agree.
Next question.
Jerks, which is better, pistachio ice cream or coffee ice cream?
Neither. If I'm going ice cream, I'm not doing either of those.
Even with little chocolate chunks in the coffee, you wouldn't eat that?
Nah.
Now, okay. Well,
I drink enough coffee in the morning, so I don't really need that as my vice and dessert at night.
How much caffeine is actually in coffee ice cream? Like if you have two scoops of whatever, is
really
it going to keep you up all night?
Probably a decent amount.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a myth. I think it's all just flavor.
You ever had coffee grounds on your steak? You ever had a protein seasoned with coffee grounds?
No,
not bad.
I don't travel in those circles.
Also, if you're having espresso ice cream, it would be less because espresso has less caffeine than coffee does.
And by the way, what does that mean, those circles? You can grind up some coffee beans. You can get coffee grounds. You can pick that up at any supermarket.
I thought it was something that rich people do.
No.
I put A1 on that thing.
What did I hear Clayton say the other day? Oh, I love a ribeye in my Heinz 57.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I'm just kidding about the A1, by the way.
Ugh.
You get a nice steak, you don't put anything on it, right?
Next question.
Jerks, what's one wrestling move you've always wanted to do on someone?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Always suplex. Wanted to, but never had. Yeah, suplex would be the one. Does everybody know what that is?
Pile driver I don't want to do because you could risk serious
injury.
Really
hurt
the DDT,
somebody.
Don't need to do that. The figure four leg lock, don't need to do that.
What about a small package?
Leg drop, don't need to do that. The clothesline, don't need to do that.
People's elbows are super lame. Wouldn't inflict any pain.
Agree.
Rishiki, though, the stink face. You just rub your tush in someone's face. That's insulting.
What about the camel clutch?
Yeah, that hurts.
The iron sheik. That was a heck of a move.
Oh, that looked like that just hurt.
You could break somebody's back doing that.
But the suplex.
Mankind choking people with a dirty tube sock. That was quite a way to go out.
What did George the Animal Steel do? What did he do?
He never won. He didn't really have a move.
Didn't have a move?
He used to rip up the turnbuckle and eat
did.
It, remember?
He was wild.
He was in love with Miss Elizabeth.
Miss Elizabeth. He loved Miss Elizabeth.
Rest in peace.
Who didn't that time?
Next question.
Jerks, what's the next sports stadium that you want to visit?
The new Key Arena.
Seattle Center.
They're gonna call it Key Arena, right?
No.
They're not?
No, in fact,
you're not supposed to call it Key Arena right now.
No.
Oh, sorry.
It's a Seattle Center, Tom. Have you been to Lambeau? Have you been to Lambeau Field?
I haven't been to Lambeau. It looks too cold up there, though.
Lambeau is magical. As far as NFL stadiums go, magical. I mean, the new L.A. stadium, you fly into Southern California, you see that thing being built. That's going to be just a spectacle. Jerry's World down in Arlington is nuts. I've done probably a dozen games there, and it is still a marvel.
Amazing. Just because of the size of it?
The beauty of it, the size of it, every last detail down to the cowboy star that's on every elevator button. I mean, it's just insane. Insane.
I've been to a lot of the places that I would have liked to have gone, like Wrigley, been to Fenway a million times.
Fenway's cool.
Old Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. Pretty neat. Yeah, but yes, the new Seattle Center Arena will be the place to see.
Yeah.
All right, one last one, Alex.
Next question.
Danny said that he would choose the ability to dunk over $1 million. Would you do the same? And Brock, since you can dunk, if somebody would give you a 4-4-40 time, would you take $1 million or a 4-4-40?
Right now or coming out of college?
Right now.
I don't need to run no 4-4-40 right now. But if I did, that meant my legs, back, glutes, things are firing pretty quick, calves. Like, from a body show standpoint, you're running 4.4, you got some, you're put together very well. But no, no, still the $1 million.
I'd take the million.
You take the million?
Well, there's nothing I need to do that athletically that's that important.
What would you do with a million? Would you get yourself a little bigger boat, you think?
No, I keep the same boat. I might get a newer version of the same boat.
Yeah. Okay.
Pay off some debt.
Yeah.
I don't have that much, really.
No. No. You've been hardworking, man.
Yeah. I'm frugal.
Well, that is it, Tom.
That it?
That was pretty wild, a little 3 hours there.
Sorry about the Gonzaga stuff.
Yeah, you really...
Don't be sorry.
I'm kind of sorry.
We wouldn't have gotten a single phone call if you didn't express that hate.
I know, but I don't want to make people feel bad about their team.
I knew you'd rile up the Spokaneites. They've heard that noise for so many years, though. You're not unique in that, Tom.
But they don't need to hear it coming out of
the local station. No, they don't.
Gonzaga's great.
Amazing program.
They're going to romp to the Final Four this year.
I sure hope so. I'll be rooting for them.
They're going to blow past every Big Ten team in their path.
The next time you hear Brock and Salk, it will be from, and I guarantee you in the first 5 minutes, Salk is going to tell you how cold we are, because it'll be a little chilly when we begin Monday morning from Peoria, Arizona. There will be plenty of football conversation still, but look forward catching up, learn a little bit about these Seattle Mariners, and we'll do so with and alongside all of you beginning next week. But for this day, Mr. Wassel, the hay?
It's in the barn.
But is a turtle an animal?
Yeah, I don't know if a turtle is an animal.